And welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from 2022, Wet Leg by Wet Leg, their self-titled debut album. Wet Leg are a British indie rock duo from the Isle of Wight in the UK, founded in 2019 by vocalist Rhian Teasdale and guitarist Hester Chambers. Their name comes from the nickname that they use on the Isle of Wight for tourists from the British mainland.
Okay. I thought there was like a different slang for it, like somebody, I can't remember what though, but it makes sense because Someone walking along the beach could have a wet leg.
Well, they have to get their leg wet to come from the mainland to the island.
Ah, right, okay.
As someone who has lived my entire life in or very near a resort area,
yeah.
I appreciate that. It would be like me calling a band Benny.
Yes.
And as soon as I thought of that, I kind of wanted to do it. Bayonne, Elizabeth, Newark, New York, where the bulk of our tourists come from. I live on the Jersey Shore. And everywhere that gets a considerable tourist trade has a nickname for them.
I mean, I used to live on the island.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally get it.
What is it? Does Chicago have one?
Chicago, just people from Wisconsin.
Okay. Wet Leg's self-titled debut album was released on April 8th, 2022 by Domino Recording Company, produced by Dan Carey, with the exception of the song Chaise Long, which was produced by John McMullen, and the song Angela, which was produced by Joshua Mobaraki. Surprisingly, not one of the songs he co-wrote. And features Rhian Teasdale on vocals and guitar, Hester Chambers on guitar and vocals, with additional musicians Michael Champion on bass, Henry Holmes on drums and additional vocals, Dan Carey on synths and programming, and John McMullen on synths and programming. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at John and Scotto, you'll find links to Wet Leg on Spotify and YouTube so you can follow along if you'd like. Should mention, in the last month or so, I've become a massive fan of this band. I've seen a lot of interviews, so I'll be interjecting a lot of random information about them.
All right.
Starting with track one, Being in Love. This is kind of the appetizer for the album.
I love how it just gets in there. There's no throat clearing at all. You are just launched right into this.
But it's not like the real hook, which is next.
Right.
It's just kind of gives you a little taste. Love the unison vocal. And I only picked this up because I've seen a live version. They're much better live. I'll point out to some of that later. It's actually Hester and Rhian singing at the same time, but it's so in unison, you don't catch it unless you know it's both of them. Like, knowing it's both of them, I can hear it, but I never knew that until I saw the live version. Love that distorted synth that comes in the verse, some nice harmonies in the chorus, and just this really nice cold stop. In the lyrics, in the verses, she's describing basically being sick or just overrun with life or various others, you know, issues, difficult situations, and saying she kind of likes it because it's like being in love.
just the whole mental state of it all.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a real mid-60s kind of vibe on the chorus.
Yeah.
It's not quite Ramones, but it's like a bit more laid back of that, because I mean, that's what the Ramones are doing. I describe it like Weezer meets Sylvanesso. One of the singers sounds a lot like Kate Bush too, which, I mean, that's coincidental because I've just been listening to a bit more of her since our review.
Interesting. The comparison I always use for Rhian is, now I'm blanking on the name, Nico from the Velvet Underground.
I could see how you'd get that because, you know, Nico had that delivery too, where just
particularly the spoken parts,
fuck you, you know, kind of thing.
Rhian speaks a lot in the
album.
On to track two, Chaise Long. This is kind of the origin of the band.
Yeah, this reminds me a lot of like early to mid 90s stuff.
They originally got together. Rhian and Hester had been playing on the Isle of Wight in the music scene for about a decade. They met in college about a decade earlier. Rhian had moved to London to work as a stylist assistant, and at Christmas 2018, she came back to the Isle and was staying with Hester and her partner, Joshua, sleeping on their chaise along. And, you know, they had written some songs together, never intending for anyone to hear the songs, just
well,
for
right,
fun.
Because this is all just sexual innuendo,
yeah.
loaded on top of each other.
Rayanne learned guitar for the band. She was a piano player before this. Joshua runs a mobile recording service, so he had the gear to record them. And then Rayanne decided she didn't really want to play as a solo artist anymore. She had some gigs coming up the following summer. She asked Hester to join her. And so they played some shows together. And then, as they explained it, they were at this festival. They'd just seen a band called Idols play, who we need to review.
Okay.
And they were a bit drunk on a Ferris wheel and just made a pact to start a band. But it all started with Rianne sleeping on Hester chaise longue. Like the driving drums, great groove, nice chorus bass. Michael Champion's playing on the album is fine. I will say I prefer their live bassist, Ellis Durand. He's much
usually,
more...
This is very Sonic Youth, you know, kind of feel to it.
He plays with a lot more distortion, plays much more aggressively. He races, and Henry Holmes, their drummer, also races. They both play way ahead of the beat.
I could see that improving this even more. But yeah, this is pretty cool, too, because it's just,
Oh, yeah.
This rough sound.
And when your entire rhythm section is racing way ahead of the beat, and you've got this vocalist with this very laid-back, often deadpan vocal style, and a lead guitarist with this very behind-the-beat kind of hesitant style, and I say I love the way Hester plays, it just creates this nice contrast.
Yes.
I highly recommend, if you like their music, check out some live stuff on YouTube. But back to Saison, like the driving drums, great groove. I like the chorus on the bass. There are some great innuendos. The opening
she got
lyric,
the big D.
Mommy, daddy, look at me. I went to school and I got a degree. All my friends call it the big D. I went to school and I got the big D. This was their first single.
So she got the big D. And then, of course, you should be horizontal. And, of course, buttering a muffin.
Yeah, I was very tempted to unzombie take out the reference a line from this album, but there were some good ones from the movie.
That's an innuendo I remember the Beastie Boys using first, but I'm sure it dates back even further.
And apparently it was a reference to Mean Girls. I've never seen Mean Girls.
Oh, okay.
But the line is your muffin buttered? Would you like us to assign someone to butter your muffin? Funny thing is, I just took it as this, absurd non sequitur. The sexual innuendo didn't dawn on me until well after I was familiar with the song.
No, I remember the Beastie Boys. I think I'm trying to remember how long ago that was. Something about your butter, your muffin.
Okay, yeah. And then, excuse me, what? It goes back and forth between Rianne and Hester. And I like that Hester jumps ears on the what. She switches ears. I always love that. Great guitar riff. It goes very punk after that.
Yeah. And just the word use of long and long,
yeah.
Together. Just
well, it's long. Its pronunciation is the same. Chaise long. It's pronounced the same in French as long in English, and it means long chair.
Right. All day long on the long.
Yeah, yeah. And would you like us to assign someone to worry your mother? And she speaks it. She doesn't sing the line. It's
right.
Is your mother worried? Would you like us to assign someone to worry your mother? With this very crisp delivery. And a very unique accent. It's probably Isle of Wight. Her and Henry have the same accent.
Yeah.
But this is where you finally get a sense of like, okay, this is who the band is. I have seen some reactions where they didn't get the big D joke.
Oh, really?
I'm shocked that anybody doesn't get that reference.
I'll never forget. I think I can't remember the guy's name. He's like one of Buddy Ryan's kids becoming coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And he actually said, unironically, I can't wait to get my hands on that D. Talking about the defense. And of course, the internet just all giggling uncontrollably as they should.
I'm glad I finished taking a drink before he got to the punchline.
Yeah, I wouldn't bring up football at it for no reason. It didn't have a good payoff.
Well, I knew it was going somewhere. I just was hoping to get, a drink in before he got there. On to track 3, Angelica. Love the sort of jangly opening riff. Some nice spoken parts in the first verse. Not the main vocal is sung, but Hester has some spoken parts around it. Great groove once the drums come in. Nice ethereal vocal in the pre-chorus. Love the melody there.
I like how grungy this one is too. This one, it's more of a Nirvana though, so which is more of
Little
a
bit.
refined grunge.
It just explodes in the chorus.
Yeah.
There's some nice use of auto-tune in the chorus. In that sort of instrumental section, we get a very kind of, it's hard to pick it out as a vocal, but because it's spoken and it fits right in with the guitars, but it's like auto-tuned to sound like a guitar.
It's killing me the riff that they're playing on this. I want to say the song is called "Every Trick in the Book," but
Okay.
that's not the name of the song, and I couldn't find
The
it.
only riff I could pick out that they borrowed is in the next song.
Oh yeah, I picked that one up, but this one was, the lyric "Every Trick in the Book." Oh well, it's a '60s song though.
Okay. Makes sense. The Ray Gun verse is hilarious. It's all about how the main verses are about Angelica went to the party and brought this to the party and ultimately brought a ray gun to the party and killed everybody. And also, the lyric references Instagram. I know I'm getting old when a pop song references a specific social media site.
Yeah, MySpace never made it to a song, did it?
The core part of the pre-chorus is I don't want to follow you on the gram. I don't want to listen to your band.
Oh man. Yeah.
Also, the siren sound as they're going out was a nice touch. Gets just really nicely chaotic at the end. I just realized I forgot to pick a favorite. I'm just made a quick decision. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm in. Since you've brought it up, I've got a crisis actually here.
Okay.
I have not been able to pick a weakest in this album.
Oh wow, that was obvious for me. I couldn't pick. I'm kind of reaching for. I'm kind of settling on a favorite because there's a few I would like to pick, but and. We're
I think
past the obvious, so neither of us took the coward's way out with Chaise Longue.
the strongest, there were a few choices, but I was able to settle on a strongest. But I gave it the full three listens, which normally is enough for me to pick out a song that's going, this was just kind of in here to, kill time like last week's
You couldn't
Moonchild.
find filler. That's
No,
encouraging.
there is no filler on this album. Everything serves a purpose, and I couldn't imagine the album without it.
Because we're just getting to one of the ones I was concerned that you might pick. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of the band. I love this album, so I kind of didn't want to see you kill any of my children. But I was a little concerned about this next one because it would have been a fair choice. Track four, I Don't Want to Go Out. I think either Bowie or Mick Ronson deserve some writing credit on this one.
I could not when I first on first listen, and maybe it was because it was late at night that I did the first listen, I was like, that guitar sounds so familiar. And it wasn't until the second listen where I was like, the man who sold the world.
Hester directly quotes The Man Who Sold the World, and they don't give any writing credit to Bowie or Mick Ronson.
It's kind of, I mean,
They there
is it
is they
really a
change it a little
unique
bit.
riff though? I mean, it's just kind of this tango kind of thing.
She changes it a little bit, maybe just enough to be, original and, not copyright infringing.
Yeah, the estate might sue.
I like the tone of the vocal. It's got a great chorus melody. I love Hester's playing. She's in no way a technician, but she's just really tasteful and plays very behind the beat.
And they also reference the Pixies in this too. That "Where's My Mind?"
Okay. And clearly a huge influence on them.
Yeah.
Like the trippy bridge. They almost go trippy a lot, but they really committed on the bridge for this one.
Yeah, maybe I could pick this as one as weakest because I don't have a whole lot of my notes on it
Same.
because I was very distracted by the things they were quoting. Maybe it got in the way of the song.
That'd be a fair pick. And there are a few songs that are just kind of They're nice. They're good.
But I still enjoyed the song.
Yeah.
So that's why they're I wasn't not, like, this is the weakest.
Yeah. They're just, there are a lot of songs like this and the opener. They're really good songs, but they're just not the standouts.
It's kind of like what I had to do with Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. It was kind of like a, by default, somebody had to be weakest.
Yeah, yeah. On to track 5, Wet Dream. Another one co-written by Hester and Joshua. This is the first song I heard from them. I've mentioned Beth Roars before. She's a vocal coach on YouTube, reacts to songs. I support her on Patreon. And every month, actually not twice a month, we have these listening parties. Everybody brings a song based on a topic. And we watch the videos. I think this was late June, early July. The topic was Dream. And someone brought Wet Dream by...
You know, I was going to ask the topic that this would possibly...
Dream.
Dream, okay.
And it was their performance of it at Glastonbury. And just the way Rianne says, let's begin, in the opening. It's a little different than on the record. It just kind of hooked me, and I wanted to hear it again and again, little by little, you know, the rat hole.
This is the first one where I hear the talking heads on it.
Yeah. The way I described them on Twitter a while ago and described them to you, Talking Heads meets Sweet with Nico on vocals.
This is probably my pick for second strongest.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard this one before. I think there's a couple others I've heard too.
You've probably heard what Chase Long, because that's the one.
Yeah, I've heard Chase everywhere. Long. And, I'm trying to remember the other one. I think I've heard Your Mom.
Okay, those three I think are probably the strongest. Although my favorite is not one of them, surprisingly. But I love that opening riff. I love the opening lyric, beam me up, count me in, 3, 2, 1, let's begin. And she just says, let's begin. It's got a great groove. I like the sparse verse. Love Henry's background vocal. Henry's the only other vocalist credited on the album other than Rianne and Hester. And there's a spoken vocal in the Buffalo 66 line.
You know, if we really wanted to do a crossover, wouldn't that have been the movie we'd review?
Yeah. The song is about someone having a wet dream about Rianne.
Yeah. And
his pickup line in the song is, baby, don't you want to come home with me? I've got Buffalo 66 on DVD. I saw an interview. Rianne said that the song was inspired by a series of texts from an ex who said that he had a dream about the two of them being happily married.
Well, that's a bit much.
Writing the song was her way of processing it. I'm wondering, the Buffalo 66 had to be a reference to him. Maybe he's like a huge fan of that movie.
Yeah.
Because it's a really weird pull, particularly for a millennial. Someone in there, I think Hester's 29. That's a weird pull.
I don't know if they're millennials.
Hester's 29. I'm sorry. Rianne's 29. Hester's a year younger.
Does that make them Zoomers?
No, Zoomers would kind of borderline. They're young millennials.
Okay.
I think the first Zoomers are like 27 now. So they're right on the edge. And Buffalo 66, if you don't know, obscure 90s movie.
Yeah.
I only know it because Christina Ricci's in it, and I had a massive crush on her back in the day.
Who didn't, you know?
But back to Wet Dream. This is just a really fun, simple song. Surprisingly, the two that don't have an explicit warning on Spotify are the two that are most overtly sexual. This one and Chase Long.
Chase Long, you know, doesn't come right out and say it.
Well, no, this one flat out says this is probably the most overtly sexual.
Chase Long just flies over a lot of people's heads.
Right, yeah. For the few people who don't know what the big D means.
Right.
And I just love, with Wet Dream, just finishing it up, love the cold stop of let's begin. She ends the song with let's begin.
Yeah.
On to track 6, Convincing. This is my very abrupt quick pick for favorite. And it's the one that's sung by Hester.
Oh, okay. It's a very fun song. Those are keyboards, or are they keyboards and vocals sampled in or sung with the keyboards when you're getting into the chorus?
Well, it's all vocal. I think that do 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 is that's Rianne.
You think that's just all vocal?
I've seen it live. That's Rianne. She sings the
Okay.
do-do-do part. This one reminds me a lot of Darling Violetta. It
Okay.
sounds a lot like something they would have done. And again, it, not a band that, two almost 30-year-olds would have known.
There is a lot from, I feel, the 90s and the 2000s worked in this album.
But Darling Violetta were a very brief flash in the pan, and you pretty much had to know the Buffyverse to have ever heard about them. So,
Well, maybe I mean, Buffy is common.
yeah, I guess. But maybe they do know Darling Violetta. Maybe it was a direct influence or through another band who was influenced by DV. But I love the groove on this one, love the bass part, love the kind of spoken vocal that she gives, because Rianne is clearly the better singer. I'll just,
Yeah.
But Hester's got this great kind of spoken style she uses on it. Love that high background vocal in the chorus. Some great distorted bass on the bridge. And I love how loud it gets by the end because it's kind of a mellow song at the top.
Yeah, you get a lot of builds, of course, which I'm absolutely a sucker for. So it's why this works so well for me.
On to track seven, Loving You. This is my pick for weakest.
Oh yeah, anytime you get the California Dreamin' vibe, you're checked out.
The drum machine just doesn't work for me. Particularly when you have Henry Holmes. I love Henry's playing. He's just so aggressive and racing and intense. So they bring a drum machine on this in on this one. It just doesn't work for me.
I had thought about putting this as a weakest, but it works so well as a change of pace from the
Yeah,
rest of the album.
true.
And the melody works with the falsetto. The falsetto is such a good contrast to the lyrics.
And I love that nice high ethereal vocal. Rianne doesn't really show off vocally, but her range is damn impressive. To go from this low Nico kind of spoken thing to this high ethereal.
Yeah, so I just couldn't imagine the album without it, because it's really the only valley in the entire album.
True, true. It's got a great bass tone. She has some great emotion in her voice in the pre-chorus and the chorus. Great harmonies in the chorus. There are some real drums that come in the second verse. And the vocal in the bridge just gives me chills. I had to pick a weakest, so by
I
default.
was gonna say, I don't know if that's a good weak pick if it gave you chills.
Yeah, by default.
Yeah, okay.
It's the drum machine. If it
It's the
wasn't,
intro.
it's the drum machine, honestly. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
On to track eight, Your Mom, another standout. Another one co-written by Hester. Great groove, love the distorted synth bass. Really vicious opening lyric. When I think about what you've become, I feel sorry for your mom. The whole lyric is just really vicious, ripping on an ex.
This is my pick for strongest, because it's just, I mean, pound for pound, it's just so good.
Great verse melody. Love how the chorus just explodes. Great harmonies in the chorus.
Exactly.
Some great sound effects going into the second chorus. The scream at the end is great.
I've been working on my scream. Want to hear it?
Okay, I've been working on my longest and loudest scream. Okay, here we go. And she just lets out this incredible scream. The live version is better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I imagine she's just going to kill her voice, though.
It's we have been working on our longest and loudest scream. The entire band stops playing. All five of them scream their heads off for 10 to 20 seconds.
Oh, that's not good on the chords, man.
Henry counts them in. They come back in perfectly together. And Rianne sings another chorus perfectly. And I've seen multiple live versions of this. I recommend, I think I'm going to put this in our social media, the Glastonbury version. It's a 20-second scream, and this massive audience all join in. So this
Hopefully they get the audience to do it in the future.
at Glasto, the entire audience was screaming with them. It was glorious. And
Yeah.
they've said it's just this great moment in the middle of the show to just let out all the tension.
As an old man here, I'm just like, you got to be careful with that, though, dude.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're young,
Of course, yeah. Not really, but I mean, yeah. compared to us.
Well, they're still in their 20s, they're young.
Right.
When Rianne gets to be, pushing 40, if they're still together, I don't think they're gonna be screaming the same way.
Right.
And
Just
or she's not gonna be
microphone
able
to
to
the
recover that
audience,
quickly.
dude. The audience can do it for you. They should be screaming
Yeah.
anyway. Save your voice.
But I'm what amazes me, I mean, the gag of the entire band just screaming. But then Henry counts them in, and they just come in perfectly in sync after just screaming for 10 to 20 seconds. It's amazing. Track 9, Oh No. Love the riff on this one. Great guitar tone. It's probably the most rock song.
I think there's a little Franz Ferdinand influence going on
Possibly,
here.
yeah.
There's a lot of zeros on this one, like strokes and yeah-yeah-yeahs.
Great guitar tone, great groove. I really feel this one. It's about social media addiction. Love the insistent kick in the verse. Great riff between the verses, the lead riff. Love the last verse. 3 a.m. I feel zen. Fucking zen. Oh no. Pull the life from my eyes. It feels nice. I'm scrolling. I'm scrolling.
That's where everyone's at right now.
Oh yeah. Nice change in the bridge too. Most of it is this loud, aggressive, almost punk song, and then it kind of mellows out in the bridge. And it took me a long time to connect the lyrics because most of it, again, is about just being obsessed with your phone and scrolling through social media. And then it's if you're going to the party, I hear there's going to be some arty people that are talking about themselves or whatever it is you like to talk about. The
I think
party is
that's definitely
so.
a Franz Ferdinand reference, about
Okay.
people at the party being so arty.
Okay. Love the lead guitar and the bridge. There's a great solo. And then the last line, checked my phone and now I'm inside it. Another change of pace, track 10, piece of shit. Slower song, nice change of pace. I like the analog synths. Great to hear some acoustics. I like the exaggerated question she does at the end of the verse. She really kind of, there's that lift at the end of the sentence when you ask a question. She really exaggerates it.
Now, this could easily have been a cake song,
Yeah.
just not with the higher range, of course, but just that the way that guitar is and the lyrics and the way it's delivered, I could easily see them doing this.
Love the riff after the verse. Nice groove in verse 2. I like how it gets nice and sparse in the first half of the last chorus. And then there's this nice a cappella ending. Track 11, Supermarket. This has a nice kind of loose groove. The video for this one, directed by Lava LaRue.
Okay.
So there's a connection there. Lava also, I think if I'm remembering correctly, did some graphics and color correction for the Oh No video. Great. Guitar tone. I like the separation of the two guitars, acoustic on one side, electric on the other. I like how the opening sung riff, that I kind of works with the high-i-i-i'd part.
They completely throw a loop here because it's, a 70s rock style anthem,
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, they're totally doing it ironically, of course.
Yeah. Like how chaotic the chorus gets. It's just, again, just another fun, simple song.
Yeah. I mean, they even kind of hear them laughing at the
Yeah.
end. But yeah, it totally works, of course.
And finally, track 12, Too Late Now, co-written by Michael Champion, the bassist on the album. Great opening groove. Like how the guitar and the additional percussion kind of slow it down, because that initial bass groove is kind of quick. They bring in this slow guitar riff, and this additional percussion gives it this nice kind of mellow groove.
Closing it out with some more Sonic Youth, kind
Yeah,
of
a bit of a
sounding
Sonic Youth
stuff.
vibe.
Yeah.
There's this nice explosion sound effect, great crystalline guitar tone.
I think I've heard this one before, too.
Kester Chambers as a guitarist is kind of a revelation to me. She's just beautiful tone, so tasteful. Love what she does rhythmically. And then there's a sudden change in the middle.
Right. At first, I was kind of wondering, like, why is this at the end? I'm not sure if this really fits. And then it just jumps off in
Yeah.
the
This
middle.
rapid fire spoken vocal about just being lost and not knowing
Yeah.
where you are, and ends with, I think I need a bubble bath to put me on a higher path. And then it just builds into this punk song.
Yeah.
Love the build in the second half and the melody in that part. There's a great groove at the ending. It just gets really nicely noisy. There's some screams. I think it's got to be Henry because it's not Hester or Ryan. Love how it just gets really aggressive, and it's just a great ending song with
Yeah, perfect
after that
climax.
twist in the middle.
Yeah.
So, do you recommend it?
Definitely solid album. I was with it from the first listen, and it got better as it went along.
Between these guys and the Lindas and some people, other bands I've heard recently who will be revealing some very new bands, I've got hope for the future of rock and roll.
Yeah, it is that it is kind of something that's moving forward at least, and not I mean, it's looking back in its way. I know we had a talk off air last week about nostalgia versus pushing ahead.
And it was basically a brief debate about like when rock and roll stopped moving forward. Was it the 80s or the 90s? But the next day I was thinking about something, and I think I did finally like consciously process something I've seen a lot of younger bands talk about, and even younger music analysts. Nobody cares about genre anymore.
Right. That is so true. There is no such thing as genre anymore. But the one thing is, there's always an element of nostalgia, no matter
Oh,
where
yeah.
you look.
Everything is derivative.
Yeah.
Everything is influenced by something. It's what you do with those influences.
Right. How much are you wearing it on your sleeve, you know? Are you
And
a tribute band, or are
yeah.
you doing something new with it?
And these guys and the Lindas, the influences are pretty obvious, but they twist it. They do something new with it.
I would say what like less obvious than the Linda
Yeah,
Lindas.
oh yeah. Also about 10 years older,
Yeah.
so if more 10 to 15 years older, so yeah, and these two were playing on the local music scene for like a decade before they got together. They've said they've already got their second album recorded.
Wow.
Given this came out in April, that's kind of impressive. I'm really hoping that the live band plays on it, that they're a five-piece band now, not just a duo with some session people, because
Yeah.
Henry played on this, I'm assuming he plays on the next one. Him and Ellis are perfect together. Joshua, Hester's partner, plays keys and guitar with them live. Does some really interesting stuff with analog synths. So
Okay.
I'm hoping they all stick together. I obviously definitely recommend it. I've in short order become a massive fan of these guys. Definitely, again, check out some live stuff if you can. That's it for Wet Leg. Until next time, we'll be reviewing High Risk Behavior by the Chats. Looking forward to hearing your take on these guys. They are
Yeah, I don't know if I really know anything about these guys.
just good old-fashioned punk.
Oh, great. Cool.
So, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Till then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.